Welcome this morning. David's got me opening up this morning, and so I want to welcome all of you here to Awaken Memphis. If you're tuning in on the radio or on the internet, you're in for a real treat. What a great worship team the Lord has blessed us with. Bruce Carroll and Paul Burkus, thank you so much. That was just unbelievable, off the chart, off the chain. We are truly blessed to enter into the throne room through that type of worship. Awaken Memphis, Awaken Me is a volunteer organization of pastors, Christian businessmen here to promote the welfare of our city, our state, and our government. We do that really through three main ways. Here on Tuesday mornings, we meet to worship together, fellowship together, and study the Word. Last night, we had about 23, 4, 5. It's hard to count because some people come in. It was around 40 people. It started out 111 Monday nights ago. We were praying for the welfare of Memphis as this COVID thing hit, and it just kept going. We started at about an hour. We then had to back it up because we got to add worship to it, and we backed it up 15 minutes. And then we went an hour and a half, and then we went an hour and 45 minutes, and now we're going a solid 2 hours, and so praise the Lord. If you want to be on our prayer leadership agenda for our Zoom call on Monday night, please contact David Sitton and let him know that you really want to have a topic assigned to you. And we will try to work you in. Last night, we had to shut it off around 8:44. We had to go into close. And I know some people that were on the call did not get to pray. But we have a group of very faithful people who just about have been there 111 Monday nights. We have many, many that tune in for the whole 2 hours. Some tune in for only part of that. And we are so blessed to have all of you because the Lord hears our prayers. You know, he is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus Messiah, just really hit me. Light of the world, name above all names, Redeemer, Emmanuel, blessing for sinners. You know, I know we're in the political season, and I want to encourage everybody to investigate the candidates. Our local elections are probably the most important elections we as followers of Jesus can participate in. We need to find out what these people believe and what are they going to do when they get into office. And I think if we, as followers of Christ, would take more interest in that, it would truly be a blessing for our city. And I want to get started this morning with a little quick word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Ed Jackson, another way that we minister here at Awaken Me on Sundays, we go out to Shelby Farms. We're out there from 5 to 7. We had 7 professions of faith last Sunday. We had about 21 intercessors. It's hard to count because we meet. We have a quick word of prayer. We sing a song or two. We go out and disperse just like Jesus sent the 70 out. We come back about 7 o'clock, and we report in what happened. Every week almost now for about almost a year, we've had people say yes to Jesus. And so truly, truly, if you don't believe the fields are white for harvest, come on out and see. Speaking of Shelby Farms, I don't want to forget this. If you've got an iPhone, you can be invited. If you don't have an iPhone, you can grab somebody who does and text reunion to 474747. If you will text reunion to 474747. Now, David, what is that? Reunion to 474747, because June 25th is Community Day. Community Day, all churches, all Sunday school classes, all followers of Christ are invited to Shelby Farms, and everything is free. Free. The rides are free. The Sky Zip thing is free. The horses are free. Awaken Me has a pavilion. Jones Pavilion will be out there in the afternoon. We're sharing it with somebody, but we'll be out there in the afternoon. We'll have free water. But if you want something more than water, bring it. It's a picnic. So if you can't bring anything, just show up. There's plenty of free food. But if you want to bring up some food, you want to bring a picnic, it's a great time to get to know the people of Memphis. There'll be people from all over Memphis that will be coming. And it's just really called Community Day. So what would you text? Reunion to 474747. Ed Jackson, would you please come up here and pray and open us? And then I'm going to ask David Sitton to come and introduce our speaker this morning because he's special.
Thank you, Henry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. This is your day. We rejoice in it, Lord. Everything in heaven and earth belongs to you. Every molecule of air in our lungs belongs to you. Let us use it, O God, for the kingdom, for your glory, for your honor, for you are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things, Lord. Let us return the word to you, Lord. Thank you for Awaken Memphis. Thank you for the leadership of David and Henry. And Lord, we pray your blessings will continue to thrive among these who are so faithful to be convicted, Lord, for revival and spiritual awakening here in Memphis in the Mid-South. Lord, we pray your blessings on the breaking of the word, Lord, this morning. May the bread of heaven cover the ground of our hearts, Lord, piercing our hearts to conviction, dear God, that we will strive to do our very best for you, O Lord. Don't let anyone get past us without preaching the gospel. Paul said, how are they going to know unless somebody preaches? So, Lord, we are that somebody. Let us feel responsible unto God because we have received the revelation. We have been redeemed, and Lord, now we are responsible. So, Lord, let us be convicted of that. We thank you and praise you, O God, this morning, for you are a good, good Father. You watch over your children, and Lord, you surround us, Lord, with walls and hedge of protection as you surround Jerusalem. So, God, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Brother Ed teamed up with Christy Lynn, and they won three people to Christ out there last Sunday. Come on up here, Vietnam veteran, Memorial Day man, Ray Bratcher. We're going to ask everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and Ray's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we're going to acknowledge the men in this room that are running for public office.
Imagine, brothers and sisters, what it was like on D-Day. It was raining, storming. Jump out of airplanes, some of the airborne did, all of the airborne did, and fell into a nest of snakes firing live rounds at you. Some of them survived, lots of them were killed. Then think about how precious it is to pledge allegiance to this flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray. I know four people here that are running for office. I want to, if you could just stand up, tell them who you are and what district you're running for at and where that may be. Frederick?
On the north, kind of a hodgepodge of Poplin Park, and on the south, State Line Road. And I am running because I want to represent you. Many of you are in my district, and I guarantee you that I will make all my decisions based on my faith, my morality, and the will of the people.
Amen. Amen. And Henry will be hosting a fundraiser here on June the 16th for Frederick. Frederick came out and joined us Sunday night as we went out to Shelby Farms to share the gospel. Larry spoke last week. Tell them who you are and where you go to church and where you what you're doing.
I'm Larry Parrish. Division 8 Circuit Court. It's a countywide race. Everybody can vote. Somebody asked me the other day if they could vote, and I said, are you 18? And she said, how about 81? I'll follow with Fred Tappan as far as my decisions. It's all faith, Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's part of my journey. It's where I am right now. My goal is to reform the judiciary.
Amen.
And to do that, I need to be elected, so I would appreciate your vote. But it's not, I don't need a job. It's not about me. But we need, we have to have, we are in crisis mode.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. And Larry has some cards back on the table. I placed some back there. And if you're a political candidate, you're welcome to place anything there. Steve Basser?
Hi, I'm Steve Basser. I'm running for Shelby County Trustee. So it's a countywide race. My wife and I go to St. Mike's and St. Michael's. And the trustee position is like the treasurer, the banker of the county. And so I think you need someone who's faith-based. My wife and I pray on this a lot. I'm at kind of a point in my career where I don't necessarily need this position. Not necessarily didn't know that I wanted it until we started going down the path. Everything started to align together. And I think it's the right time for me to enter public service as your trustee, and I ask you to vote for support.
Amen. Steve thought he was going to win that car that Henry was giving away Saturday night. There was an Italian fest, and Chuck Hutton Chevrolet was the title sponsor, and they were giving away a Chevy Equinox, and Steve came out there and thought he was going to win that car on that raffle there. But John Parker? Now, you look like Jesus the last time you're here. You had hair down on your shoulders. What happened to all that hair? That
back in February, my wife told me I looked like Phil Spector when I woke up in the mornings. We needed to go. I couldn't go to any of the
mornings. That's good. Like Samson and Delilah, I lost the strength of this hair. Is there anybody else here running for political office that we might have overlooked? Brother Isaias, we're going to let you, we're going to acknowledge you at the end after Brother Jason. Ken, come up here. I want to get you to introduce your pastor, because I know Larry's got to speak at the Christian Legal Society. He's going to have to leave. And we just want to welcome everyone here. We're very, very grateful that you carved out time to come to worship and to hear the word this morning. And I believe Jason's going to continue in Joel 3. But Ken is with Overcoming Abuse God's Way. He was on the prayer call last night. Him and his wife, Janet, have a great, great ministry here in Memphis.
Good morning. So I have an honor to introduce my pastor, Jason Murphy. Many of you here know him. He's spoken here many times, and he's truly a man of God, and the Spirit of God is definitely in him, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of Grace Chapel, and my wife and I thank you, Pastor, for your support and your covering over our ministry, and I know that you're going to hear a great word this morning. So if you could, I'd like to pray for you, Pastor. Come on. Father God, we just thank you this morning, God, for my pastor, Lord. I just pray a covering over him this morning. I pray, God, that a double portion of your Spirit, God, would be upon him, Lord. God, let the word go forth, God, Lord, unabraded, Lord, God. Let the word, God, Lord, reach the target, God, that you have for in our hearts this morning. May we receive it, Lord, God. Have ears to hear, eyes to see what you have to say to the church today, Lord. God, we're in a desperate place in this country, Lord, God, Lord, that's forsaken you, Lord, that's forsaken you, Lord, God, and Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord God, in the church. We need you, Lord God, in our lives, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would just move upon my pastor as he speaks this morning, Father God, Lord. I was just thinking about the love of Jesus Christ this morning, Lord. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that you're not aware of. Lord, you even hear the cry of the ravens and you send them food. How much more, God, Will you touch and will you move, God, and will you meet our needs, your children, O God? So we come to you, Lord, as sons and daughters this morning. All the precious promises of God are ours, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that the Spirit of God, Lord, will manifest himself here today, Lord, as my pastor, Lord, preaches your word, Father. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you thanks. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, Lord, we ask all things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kenneth. I appreciate that. It's an honor to be here. Thank you, David and Henry, for inviting me back. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to take them out and open them up to the book of Joel. We're going to be in the book of Joel today and a portion of Chronicles. The last time that we were together, I began to teach out of the book of Joel, and I stayed primarily in Joel chapter 2. And just a real quick recap, because it's a springboard into where I'm going today. In Joel chapter 2, we learned that the Lord had commissioned his spiritual leaders to blow the trumpet in Zion, and we talked about what the trumpet was, what the Zion is today, is to call the people together for worship. It is to prepare the people for war, let them know that there's an impending attack in our city, in our people, and the spiritual leaders in our nation. We're here to waken Memphis. The spiritual leaders here in this area need to be blowing the trumpet of Zion, waking the people up, getting them ready, disseminating messages. The day of just having church as usual is over. It's really about equipping people to live a biblical worldview out in the community in which we live. And the second lesson, we talked in Joel chapter 2 of how we should prepare for this. There was coming attack, and the enemy was many. They're disciplined, they're unified in their attack against God's people. And the Lord gave the prophet Joel a message on how we can prepare for that. We are to pray, we're to fast, we're to repent, we're to preach the word of God. And then Joel saw something very interesting. He said that there would be a day in the last days in which there would be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God because that is how we're going to be equipped and empowered to do the work that God has called us to do. And what's so significant about that is that every believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. In Joel's day, it was a select few. But in our day, every born-again Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we should be equipped and empowered to do the work that God has called us to do. And then he began to talk about total victory. But before there's total victory, there's often destruction. In other words, there are wicked, evil, religious, and civil seats of power in our community and in our cities that must be destroyed. And in the process, God is raising up godly people full of his Spirit who have a biblical worldview to take the seats of religious and civil authority and power and begin to govern according to God's word. Man is not autonomous. We do not get to make our own decisions in regard to how we want to live life. God has given us his laws and his principles. And when you violate those, there are consequences. When you follow those, there are blessings. And the way to ensure that all of our city, saved and unsaved, are blessed is that we have righteous people sitting in places of authority, ruling according to God's word. That is the way that we seek the welfare of the city. And so there must be a destruction of wicked seats of power, but at the same time, we must build righteous seats of power. It's not about destruction, it's about building. I want to pick up today in Joel chapter 3. By the way, if you want more information on that, I encourage you to go to jesushelps.me, and those two sermons out of Joel chapter 2 will be on that website. You can look for Joel 2 Speaks to Us. That's the name of that series. Today, I'm picking up in Joel chapter 3. And in Joel chapter 3, the prophet continues the theme of destruction and victory. It's also important to note that the prophet uses something that is called a near view fulfillment and a far view fulfillment. That is, when Joel is speaking in Joel chapter 3, there is a sense in which the prophecies that he is making has a near view fulfillment in relation to the position of the prophet. In other words, he was talking about the post-exilic times when his people were coming out of Babylon, going back into Jerusalem, and they would begin to rebuild their cities and their homes. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit uses those prophecies and is also talking about things that are happening in our day. So it's a far view fulfillment for the position of the prophet because it's happening in our day and even yet future. There are things still to happen. And Lord willing, we'll deal with that next week. So if you have your Bibles, we're looking at Joel chapter 3. I'm going to begin at verse number 1. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided up the land and have cast lots for my people and have traded a boy for a prostitute and have sold a girl for wine and have drunk it. Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now notice that Joel prophesies and preaches that even though his people were going into exile, remember, the book of Joel is dealing with the Babylonian invasion that happened in waves. It came in three different successive waves. And he was talking about there was a time in which even though his people were in exile, living in Babylon and other regions of their empire, God was going to send them back to the land. And so that gives us great encouragement because we know that God has a plan and a purpose, and God always has a remnant of people who will walk in repentance, who will walk in faith, who will walk in holiness, and who will do what the Lord requires of us to do. And so he already prophesied that the Lord was going to send back people to the land. Secondly, notice that the Lord, in his time, in his divine providence, was going to deal with the nations who treated his people treacherously. He was going to bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat and there enter into judgment against them. When God's people are attacked, it is as if they have attacked God. Think about when the Apostle Paul, we saw who became the Apostle Paul in his conversion in the book of Acts, something that was very interesting. The Lord, when he intervened in Paul's life, or Saul's life, who became Paul, when he intervened in his life, he made an interesting statement. He said, Why are you persecuting me? Right? So Paul, who was Saul at the time, was persecuting the church. He was arresting people. He was consenting to their death. Yet the Lord said, why are you persecuting me? Because the reality is, if we're in covenant with God, then we are a part of his body, particularly in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, right? If we're born again, if we're saved, then we are a part of Jesus' body. And so when the enemy attacks God's people, it is as if they attack God. And I assure you, God will take vengeance, and his vengeance is way better than ours. And so the vengeance belongs to the Lord, not us. We are to keep doing what God has called us to do and let God take care of entering into judgment upon people. Amen. Now notice this. The reason that God was going to bring the nations down to the valley of Jehoshaphat in order to deal with them is very straightforward. He tells us very clearly. It is because they have scattered the people. They have divided the land. And they have used the children to fund their debauchery. Now, clearly, you can see how this applies to us today in our land and in our nation. You see, even though it seems that God's people, us Christians here in America, seem to be suffering setback after setback at the moment, God has already predetermined to restore us. It is as if the church in America has been in exile for some season. We have buildings. We have complexes, right? We're free to go to church and worship. But for the most part, we haven't made any lasting and significant impact in the last 60 to 70 years. It is as if the church has been in exile. But the Lord has already predetermined that there is a time in which he's going to bring us out of exile, that he's going to empower us with his Spirit to do what God has called us to do. We will come together. We will be restored. We will be full of the Spirit. We will rule righteously. God will use his people to make an impact in the community and the city in which we live. Secondly, we should notice that God is going to bring justice against our enemies. And the reason is because the way that the enemy is attacking God's people today is similar to what was happening in Joel's day. Now, please follow my thought. If you will recall, Joel said the reason why God was going to bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat is because the people, or the enemy, Babylon at this point, had scattered the people. The same thing is happening today. The enemy of God's people is scattering us. They are scattering God's people. Now, there is a difference between what was happening in Joel's day and what is happening in our day. In Joel's day, Babylon was literally coming in and taking people and deporting them to other regions, deporting them to other realms. And the reason was to dilute their worldview, to keep them from living according to God's principles. This is why when you read the book of Daniel, chapter 1, we are told that Daniel, well, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, right? So we are told that the enemy comes in, Babylon comes in, deports them, and teaches them the literature and the ways of the Chaldeans, meaning literature, art, science, religion, all the ways of the Chaldeans. Why? Because they were trying to change their worldview. They were trying to make them good little Babylonians. Now, by the way, I think I'm talking to a seasoned group of Christians, and you understand that Babylon has had a meaning, a spiritual meaning throughout the scripture. So that Babylon represents any city or government or people who oppose God and his righteous rule, particularly through his people. And so when you know that, now you understand when Babylon comes in and takes Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego and tries to teach them the way of the Chaldeans, you can see that's what was happening in Joel's day and it's what's happening in our day. But here's the difference. The enemy of God's people, Babylon, if you will, is not actually coming into America and deporting us. They're doing it the other way around. They're actually importing people into our land. They refuse to protect our borders. And they give sanctuary, and they give passage, and they give citizenship under the cover of night to people who were enemies of America, who were enemies to the Christian way of life, and they are bringing them here to the United States of America. Why? Because they're trying to dilute our Christian way of life. Now, I realize what I'm saying may be offensive, but you can't win the battle if you don't identify the enemy. We have to understand what is going on. Now, we have to keep this in balance. On one hand, we rejoice because the Lord is bringing the nations to America and we can preach. They steal the harvest field. They can still be born again. But at the same time, we must oppose their wickedness who is here. They are here to dilute the Christian way of life. They hate everything that we stand for. They hate everything that was good about America and what America was built on. And so the enemy is scattering the people. Secondly, enemy, the Babylon, is dividing up the land, just as it was in Joel's day. The Babylonians came in and divided the land, reapportioned the land. And this was a grievous sin against God, because it was God who gave the promised land to Israel and even told them the proportions of the tribes where they would live. It was their inheritance. And so when Babylon came in and began to reapportion the land, it was a great and grievous sin against God. In a very similar way, the same thing is happening today in the United States of America. The enemy is dividing up our land. But rather than reapportioning our properties, what they have done is they've carved out this little place called Washington, D.C. And it's where all of the liberals, progressives, even people who claim to be Republicans, who really hate America, are there. Now, that's not to say that they're not true Christians there in Washington, D.C. That's not to say that they're true conservatives there, because there are. But for the most part, it's filled with anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-American sentiment. And what they've done is they created this little place where they can acquit all the ones who are anti-godly, anti-Christian, who want to destroy who we are. But at the same time, use the entities within Washington, D.C. to prosecute and to persecute politically and economically those who want to stand for freedom and those who believe in the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else they've done is they have appointed unelected judges sitting across the benches in the land who divide up the land. How do they do so? Because they do not rule according to the Bible, nor do they rule according to the United States Constitution. And oftentimes they rule in direct opposition to what should be ruled. And they're dividing up the land. And then it's the Marxist idea. Then they're dividing up people according to race, and they're dividing people according to socioeconomic status. And so you see all of this happening in our culture today. This is how Babylon works. He comes in to divide. He comes in to scatter the people. He wants to dilute our Christian way of life and the way that we live. And instinctively, the average person living in our country knows that something is wrong, but they can't put their finger on it. And it's simply because their preachers and the prophets in the pulpits don't have enough boldness to preach the word of God and to tell people what's going on. Lastly, as far as how Babylon works, is they are using our children for debauchery. Joel said the Babylonians came in and they traded a boy for a prostitute. They sold a girl for wine and drunk it. And the same thing is happening today. The enemy of God's people is using our children to fund their debauchery and to satisfy their immoral lifestyles. Why do you think the LGBTQ people are so adamant about teaching sexual perversion in our school systems? In elementary school, as early as kindergarten. They're grooming our children. It's not about equality. It's about pedophiles grooming our children. It's really simple. They cannot reproduce, therefore they must recruit. Why do you think they're pushing gender confusion as they are to our young people? Because they are using them. They are using our children. They are using the next generation to fund their debauchery and to satisfy their immoral lifestyles. And parents, in churches, in our communities, in our cities, have become so weak-kneed and spineless that they won't stand up against it. And oftentimes, in order to keep from being persecuted, they offer their children on the idol or on the altar of sexual idolatry. There have been reports after reports, studies after studies, that the younger generation coming on the scene right now is having an explosion of identifying as gay, lesbian, you know, bisexual, transgender, all the alphabet. And the reason is because it's become the cool thing to do. And parents and preachers and teachers in the church are too scared to say no. God help us. I could go on and on, but I realize I need to honor your time. And I need to say this. Because of those sins and more, God is going to, in his divine time and providence, enter into judgment against the enemies of God's people who are doing these things. Now, the prophet Joel said that God was going to bring the nations to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And there he would enter into judgment with them. Now, there really isn't in Scripture a valley called Jehoshaphat. And so the prophet is now using prophetic code to tell us how the judgment is going to play out. You ready for this? If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is king. And an enemy league of nations has surrounded Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And so Jehoshaphat calls the people together. He calls for a fast, and he asks for the people to begin to call upon God for help because they were in trouble. And here's what happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 13 through 17. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, and of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. He was in the midst of the assembly, and he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at their great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Now go down to verse number 20. "And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed.' And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And they went before the army and say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever.' And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another." So in Joel prophesied that there's coming a day when God was going to bring his people out of exile. And then he was going to bring the nations who dealt treacherously with his people and the sins that I just talked about. He was going to bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and he was going to defeat them. There is no Valley of Jehoshaphat. So it's prophetic code letting us know how God deals with his enemy, how God brings judgment to his enemies. And if we want to see the same thing happen in our land today, if we want to see God move on our behalf today, as we need God to move on our behalf today, then we need to follow these principles in our 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We must believe the prophets, and then we will succeed. In other words, believe in what Joel said. Understand what Joel is saying. It's pretty simple. He said the Lord will defeat our enemies in very unique ways. This is not a military struggle. This is a spiritual battle. He said this, "Do not be afraid." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, "Do not be afraid." This is the problem with the American church. We're too afraid to engage the enemy. We're too afraid of offending people. Amen. Oh, they may leave our church. So what? It's not your church anyway. Now look, I don't believe in being offensive just for the sake of being offensive, but I certainly don't mind offending somebody with the truth. And Jesus didn't either. And if you've been taught otherwise, you don't have a clear picture of who Jesus is and was in his earthly ministry. Do you remember when he told the rich young ruler he couldn't go to heaven because he wouldn't sell anything good to the poor? And he walked away sorrowful. Now, in today's world, most preachers, you would expect him to say this. And Jesus was so upset because he offended him, and he walked away from the church and he begged him, "Oh, please come back. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to offend you." No, Jesus doubled down and continued to teach truth. Same thing happened in John chapter 6. Listen, we don't need to be offensive for the sake of being offensive, but we certainly need to be prepared to divide and lose people over truth. The Holy Spirit would do his work in their life. They still could be born again, but we don't water down the gospel to do it. We must not be afraid. He said it twice. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't look at the numbers, right? They're hoard. Second Chronicles. No. Don't be afraid. Listen, God's on our side. Well, rather, I should word it this way. We're on God's side. And because of that, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Do not be afraid. Here's the second thing. Confront the enemy. Scripture makes that clear. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 16. He said, go down against them. Confront the enemy. Again, the church is too busy doing stuff in their complexes and not engaging the enemy. Now, there's nothing wrong with fellowship, and that's part of building the body. We need to have fellowship. That's part of building relationships and building the body and spurring one another on. But you can't forget to engage the enemy. Jesus said in Matthew 16, right, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In context, it's the church that goes on the offensive. It's the church that takes territory. And so we must confront the enemy. Martin Luther, I'm not going to quote this properly, but I will attribute it to him. Martin Luther made a statement. He said, I'm really not contending for the faith if I'm not contending for the faith at the very point where the faith is being contended. Does that make sense? Like if the enemy's attacking over here, sexual idolatry, and I'm over here dealing with something else, I've missed the point. Confront the enemy. Number three. Third thing we need to learn about the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Stand firm. Hold your position. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 17 tells us this. Stand firm. Hold your position. The enemy is attacking. The lies are rampant. People are believing the, you know, ideology of Babylon. But stand firm. Hold your position. Truth will prevail. Truth always prevails. Give it enough time. But you cannot run. You cannot turn your back on the enemy. Stand firm, men. Hold your position. And don't abandon the ranks. Believe in the Lord, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. Believe in the prophets, meaning the word of God. 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. If we do those things, we will have success. And another thing that we must not forget, we war with worship. Right? Hey, 2 Chronicles 20, verses 21 and 22 tells us that. The king, man, he appointed people to go out and sing in holy attire. You war with worship. Two of the most important things that happen when God's people come together, worship and preaching of the word. I read somewhere, and I forget who made this statement. He said there were those two entities, worship and preaching of the word, are like two wings that fly a plane. And if one of those is broken, it's crash and burn. And what's happened in our churches today in America is we've built an enterprise of worship / entertainment. And we don't preach the word. Well, thank God. I realize you're part of good churches, or you wouldn't be here listening to somebody like me. You wouldn't be here worshiping with the worshipers that we have. Thank God for these two men who lead worship. They understand the importance of it. But if you're in a church, A.W. Tozer said this, A.W. Tozier says the modern church is basically built on entertainment. And the pastor has become the entertainer who must provide the entertainment. And wonder why we can't get anything accomplished in our culture. The reality is we war with worship. When we worship on Sundays, and then you preach the word of God, you are equipping the saints for battle. And God goes before you. And God fights. And the enemy turns on themselves. Eventually, that's what happens. Any attack that comes against God's people for the enemy usually is self-destructive. Over time, they turn on one another. If we do these things, God will fight our battles. And the enemy will be defeated. And lastly, I'm going to say this and I'll close. Joel 3, verses 4 through 8. What are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon? We're back in Joel chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. What are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Are you paying me back for something? If you're paying me back, I will return your payment on your own head swiftly and speedily. For you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried my rich treasures into your temples. You have sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks in order to remove them far from their own border. Behold, I will stir them up for the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your payment on your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a nation far away. For the Lord has spoken. I'm going to give you the general emphasis of that passage. God is going to turn the tables. Just as God's people were taken into exile in Babylon, there was coming a day where they're coming back, and eventually God is going to turn the tables. God is going to pour out judgment upon his people, and he's going to use us to do it, particularly if we follow the principles that were just discovered at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. You see, the enemy has scattered God's people among the nations. However, there is coming a restorative revival. The people were coming out of Babylon. They were going to rebuild their temples, and they were going to rebuild the temple and rebuild their homes. The same thing is going to happen today for God's people. There is a restorative revival that is coming to the church in America. We are coming out of exile, as it were. Some of the things that have happened in our nation over the last 50, 60 to 70 years has been God using that to waken up his people so that we walk in repentance, so that we walk in holiness, so that God can empower us to do his service. And as a part of that, there's going to be a restorative revival. It's not just revival. It's not just extended period of services with a guest speaker. I'm talking reformation. I'm talking a restorative revival in which God's people begin to restore our home. Our churches, our government, our economics, our art, everything is going to be restored to the way that God has intended for it to be. And largely of when that happens depends on when we repent and we walk with God and we do what God has called us to do in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now I realize that what I'm saying may sound radical, but that's the picture that the prophets paint for us. Is that God desires to bring his people back to build, to restore. That's what we do when we're empowered by the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, there is coming a day. I don't know when, but there is coming a day in which there is going to be a restorative revival. What that looks like, I don't know. What will America look like then? I don't know. But this I know. God will restore the things that he desires to, and he's going to use us to do it. Amen. That's the prophecy of Joel 3. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about the battle and the blessing because he points toward the end times. I want to leave with this thought. Dave, I'll turn it over to you at this point. God is bringing his church in America out of exile. He's calling us to confront the enemy in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. This is a spiritual battle. Requires spiritual weapons, spiritual strategy. And as we do what God has called us to do in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, our enemies will be defeated. And there will be a restorative revival. God is going to do something wonderful in our midst. But you cannot be satisfied with just going to church. It's about having your mind renewed according to the scripture and to present your body as a living sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And in Revelation 11, or 12, 11, it talks about how we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the death. We give everything to see God move in our nation again. And when we do, there's a mighty revival coming. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, say amen.
The Lord was pleased. What a great word, Jason. That message should be on KWAM 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Jason also teaches at 2 o'clock on Sunday on KWAM, just like Ben Wilkins has a program at 1:30. I really encourage you to reload and listen to that again. That's been a powerful series. And then, as Jason shared earlier, JesusHelps.me, you can have that message will be uploaded and be on that website. Real quick, we're going to have three brief testimonies. Last week, Paul, come up here, brother. Paul was gone. He was working a camp up in the Ozarks. I'll let him share with you. We took a little offering here. It was about $450 to help with the camp. If you could just give us a brief overview of what happened. This brother right here is a great worship leader. He has a professional counseling ministry, works camps. He does multi-talented. Go ahead, brother.
Thank you. I am so excited about what God did last week. I can speak for myself and several people that have done this camp for 5 years now. And, man, so the long and short of it is this. The folks that I work with, that specifically the camp that I did last week, is for people that have some developmental challenges. They have autism, social anxiety, things that keep them from getting jobs, living on their own. What we're seeing is something that takes a lot of time, and it takes dedication, and it takes relationship. And what we're seeing is these guys overcoming some huge obstacles in their lives. And when you sit down with them and you disciple them and you help them understand that God truly is the strength that they need to overcome their obstacles, you actually begin to see growth. And so we do it in small batches, but I was able to help someone recommit their life to Christ, baptize them under a waterfall last week. And I was hoping for two. Last year we baptized somebody under the waterfall, and I was asking for two, but I'm happy with one. Yeah. Next year we're going to have two or five. But anyway, thank you guys for your support. These young men are truly growing. So,
what a great, great ministry. I guess it was 2 years ago, they had a big event in Washington, D.C. called The Return. And it was the same weekend that Billy Graham had the prayer march, 2020. And there was a 250,000 people on the Washington Mall. And one thing I noticed, there was all these college students that all had these same shirts on. And Liberty University had sent, I don't know how many busloads of college students up to Washington, D.C. for The Return and for the prayer march. And this next testimony, young man, this is the first time that he's been in the Central Standard Time. He's been living in Ohio. First time that he had a barbecue on Henry's trailer Saturday night. He's an intern. He just started Friday at KWAM. And Todd Starnes has a one-minute commentary that goes on 700 stations every single day, besides having a three-hour radio program that's on 130 stations. And out of all the college students at Liberty, this man was identified. Come up here, share your quick testimony on this. I asked him if he'd meet me for prayer Sunday morning. He came at 7:30. Todd Starnes is leaning on this 21-year-old man to help him put some commentaries together on the 700 stations. Pray for Alan Mora. But just share with him how you sort of got this intern position. He's only going to be in Memphis for about 8 weeks, and I invited him this morning, and he got up and came.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's really great to be here. I really enjoyed the message. I'm going to be a senior at Liberty in the fall, and I was actually at the return, too. So that's funny. But this past January, when we were at the March for Life, we were riding up there. Liberty sent like 10 buses, and we had jackets, too, like we did then. And we're on our way up, and the president of our Students for Life Club was like, someone just reached out to me and said that Todd Starnes wants to interview a Liberty student on his show. And then the people I was with just kind of looked at me, and I was like, oh my gosh. And they were like, do you want to do it? And I was like, I'd love to. Like, I'm not going to say no to that. So then they tell me that if I'm going to be on the show, it'll be like at 1:30, and I'm like getting ready and thinking about what I'm going to say. And then 1:30 like comes and goes. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not going to be on the show. And then at 2:10, I get a call from Memphis. Never gotten a call from Memphis in my life at this point. It's his producer, Grace. And she was like, are you Alan Morrow? And I was like, yes. And I'm walking through DC. There's a crowd, like 250,000 people probably. I'm trying not to get hit by a car. Like, you know, it's pretty crazy and intense. It's loud. And she's like, are you ready to be interviewed live on the Todd Starnes show? And I was like, sure, like, I guess. Then she said, okay, hold on 1 second. And I was like, okay. Like, she said, like, you know, like, I'm thinking that she's going to come back and like tell me a little bit about what I'm going to talk about or tell me what he's going to ask. Just a little bit of prep. The next thing I hear is, all right, we're going to go to the phones. We have Alan Morrow. I'm on the air with Todd. And it was really great and a really cool experience. And I've been a big fan of Todd for a long time. He's one of the people out there with a platform that's really speaking truth in an area that really needs it. But I guess after that, I started writing for them at school, and then he invited me to come out here and spend the summer writing for the national site. It's been a blast. I'm learning a lot, and I'm really excited and thankful for everyone for being so welcoming to me. So it's great to be here.
It gives you a ray of hope to see college students that they're getting engaged. And what you addressed this morning, Todd started off with yesterday at 11 o'clock about the recruitment of the LGBT community, what they're doing across the nation to just brainwash the kids. It's really phenomenal, the how that message went with how the whole program went yesterday. Brother Isaias, come up here. Terry, come up here real quick. This is Brother Isaias' last Tuesday. He's going back to Mozambique. Terry, if you could share about your little imprint real quick, and then we'll have Henry close us. And we just need to pray for these different ministries that you're getting the highlights on here. And Brother Isaias, we appreciate your faithfulness on Sunday coming out to Shelby Farms and engaging with us on Tuesday nights. Terry, you go ahead real quick. Share what you're doing with this.
Good morning, everybody. I think everybody, well, quite a few guys I've talked to about the project, the John 3:16 Global Placement, where we're taking the gospel presentation and putting it into a visual so all the nations can understand it in their own language. The flagship of this ministry is a concrete sculpture of an open Bible with John 3:16 written on it, and then illustrated all the 4 points that God promised to become human, die for the sins of the world, resurrect on the third day, and come back for his covenant believers is illustrated in John 3:16 and in a visual on this open Bible. We're going to be sending rubber molds that produce the concrete sculpture. There's one right over there behind that thing on the podium there. I mean, on the easels. There's one on the front porch too, but these are the first versions of them. We're going to be equipping those with a QR code so that when you hit it with your phone, the gospel presentation, hopefully in an animated 60-second blip that grabs you and explains the message of the gospel there. And we're going to be shipping these international. Pastor Isaias, we're going to be—he's taking this back to Mozambique, Africa, in the morning.
Leaving tomorrow,
and so there's an art school waiting on it, and they're going to start producing them in Mozambique. And that's like the first ship out of the lock. So anyway, yeah. Absolutely.
Just before he prays, Before you praise, let me just say that I'm accompanied by the wonderful woman in the world, my wife back there. Kaiser, can you stand? And we are going back to do two things. One, we want to be about church planting. Two, we want to be about leadership development. And those are the two assignments God is giving us as we go back to Mozambique. And thank you for all that are praying and for those who have given for my return. This has been an awesome time to be with you at Awaken Memphis.
Father, we are so humbled at the recognition that you are the active force that brings us into this relationship with you. Father, we consider all these opportunities that you continually bring us into to make us this exercise of obedience in what you've called us to do as individuals in this this great call to share the grace that you offer the world to bring us into this covenant relationship with you, Father. I lift up my brother, Isaiah, as he travels back with his family to Mozambique, Father, and how you've equipped us to send back a visual presentation of the Great Commission to all the nations back to Mozambique. And Father, we just are so grateful that you consider us for your work. And we just, Father, we stand back in awe and to watch the fruit of your efforts and your power and your spirit as it infects the sinfulness of this world, Father. I pray that you would continually change the hearts of your servants so that we'll be more equipped to move forward in the responsibilities that you give us. And we just rejoice in the matchless name of Christ and the power that comes with that position. Father, we pray you'd bless our brother Isaiah as he travels. And we thank you so much for the opportunity to be connected with him. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, as I bring this thing to a close, another week has gone by. Your walk with Jesus is 1 week shorter than it is in eternity. You know, you only got, you just had a week go by. And so my question is, as is every week, how'd your week following Jesus go? Was it a good week following Jesus? Or was it a bad week following Jesus? You know, I'm always reminded if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got. And so my question to you this morning is, how's the fruit? How's your fruit been in the last week? How's your fruit been in the last month? How's the fruit been? Jesus said what? Go. Go do what? Go make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. Who did you engage that was far from God? And who are you discipling? Those are the questions that haunt me all the time. I brought it up last week. You know, there's two types of people that followed Jesus at the beginning, weren't there? He called his disciples his followers. And they had a special relationship. And then there were the crowds. And the reaction of the crowds to Jesus is they pleaded with him to go away. Is your week more like the disciples or more like the crowds? Sure, on Sunday we want to get close to God. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday? So if you're struggling with that, join the club. We all struggle with that. Come on. We all sometimes are fearful. We all sometimes are like, how do I do this? Shelby Farms on Sunday. We need you. We need you there to worship with us. We need you there to pray with us. And if you'd like to, we need you there to go with us. If you've never been out and never engaged anybody with the gospel that you don't know, wow, are you missing a riot? It is one of the most fun things to do I have ever seen, to watch somebody hear the truth and say, yes, I'm in the broken world. Is there anything to stop you from following Jesus? No, I believe in Jesus. Well, yeah, but that's not really what it's talking about. Well, no, I'm over here in this world. No, I'm over here in that world. Hey, give me that. I got to go. So it's neat to watch the Holy Spirit begin to work in people's lives. If you're not engaged in that on a consistent basis, here's an easy, fun opportunity, way for you to go with people, and it's just a whole lot of fun. So at Shelby Farms, we had 7 people say yes to Jesus. If you're having trouble getting yeses, and there's spells where you may not have any yeses, then just go with Ed Jackson. He's yes, 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 yes. You can learn a lot by going with people that are experienced. You know, the Grizzlies made a pretty deep run into the playoffs, didn't they? They didn't just play games, they practiced. You know? So if you need to get a little tune-up on practicing for your week of following Jesus, Shelby Farms is a place for you. That's our report here for this past week. Don't let another week go by and act like the crowds, because Jesus is a gentleman. He will go away. He didn't beg them to go with him. As a matter of fact, he got in a boat and left. Look what they missed. What are you missing? If you're not seeing people come to Jesus, you're missing one of the most fun thing in the Christian life. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, that you're reconciling the world back to you through Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much that we are new creatures in Christ, and that our old life is supposed to be gone. And in this new life, we got a new ministry of reconciliation. We got a new title. We're ambassadors. Jesus, help us this week to be your ambassador. Help us to represent the kingdom of God to our friends, to our family, to our world. Help us, Father. We need you. We need to be able to see with our eyes that the fields indeed are white for harvest. There are people everywhere. And Lord, they need the truth. Because, Lord, just as Jason was talking about, we need you, Father. So, Father, go with us, empower us, give us a bountiful harvest for your glory and your kingdom. We love you, Jesus. Amen.